Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is the final third of the show, our episode with Jari Mikola of the Dimension Zone. He's from The Hague, Netherlands. We've explored, of course, mostly American-based UFO and paranormal researchers, but sometimes we have exceptions. So AJ Gavard from Brazil. We have featured people like, for example, Timothy Good and Nick Pope from the UK, researchers from Australia. So we're remedying that, although, as you see, Jari is as American as they come because he spent a lot of years in America and he speaks impeccable English better than I speak English, better than Chris speaks English. Well, at least better than I speak English. I don't know. Okay, so we're exploring this other case where you think there's compelling evidence. Now, to get back to anything, is there any indication back to, and we're going to leave Jerusalem after this, our little voyage to Jerusalem, anything at all that might indicate something, some genuine element, or do you think it has to be a fake completely based on what you've analyzed so far?
Well, you know, the only way that I can positively, absolutely, without a doubt, confirm a video of a UFO is if I saw the bloody thing come down from the sky, land on the lawn, and do something, and then fly away. I know in myself that I'm a credible witness. Doesn't mean that you're going to believe I'm a credible witness, but I know that I know, and the fact that I saw. And these are the people that are really hard to come forward, because there are those people that have seen and have had sightings that have said nothing. There are those that have been abducted that have never said anything because they don't want to be put into that pile of wackos. There are people who have seen genuine, you know, had encounters of the third kind, but are afraid to step forward because of the ridicule that they'll get. If you really look at Hollywood, and this is something that I've looked at, I love sci-fi, and I love to read between the lines. Men in Black is a really good example. There are so many lines in that could be information being disseminated to those that are willing to listen or to know what the heck they're talking about.
Now, understand, this is supposedly a comedy movie, The Men in Black and Men in Black 2. So where do you see things that indicate something genuine?
Oh, it's just the whole context of the film. It happens, you know, and there are snippets here and there.
I love the scene when Will Smith is watching Tommy Lee Jones grab a copy of The Inquirer or The World News off of a newsstand. And he's looking through it, and then Wilson says, "What are you reading that for? You don't believe any of that." And he goes, "Well, we got to get the word of this stuff out somehow."
But you know, what's so funny now about the National Enquirer is that some of the stories it has broken, such as, of course, the affair with former Senator John Edwards, presidential candidate and everything. He had this affair with this woman. They had a child. Nobody would pay attention. It's in the National Enquirer. Guess what? It was real.
Right.
Yeah, and that's just it. So the thing is that there is information that may be disseminated to us that, for those of us that will listen, we'll hear it.
Okay, but who's disseminating this evidence? Is it the producers of the movie? Is it the government? Is it the silence group? Who?
Well, now we're getting into the weird and the wonderful.
It's a $64 million question there, Gene.
Yeah, it's a $64 million question. I really do believe that the government is hiding a lot of things that they haven't been forthright with. No surprise there. And the thing is that I think that, in my opinion, we are not alone on this planet. You know, I do think that there's other entities here. I do believe that there are ways that they travel back and forth. I've often thought it was kind of humorous. You know, if they don't want us to see them, then why do they put these flashing lights on their crafts? It's like, yeah, here I am, hello. But the thing is it that it's not the time?
You're talking about, you know, how these creatures or entities or phenomena pops in out to our reality. Go ahead.
I don't believe that we are alone on this planet, and I do believe that they have been here for an awful long time, even to the point of manipulating the direction that humankind has gone. I mean, you take a look at some of the recent technology that's come about in the last 40 years, let alone the last 400 years, and you see that we as humans have advanced so rapidly that it's almost to the point of where can we go in the next 10 years if it's not to Mars? The technology that we're getting is sometimes so far-fetched, like stealth technology, like night vision technology. You know, cloaking devices, do we have those? I wouldn't put it past the government to have something like a cloaking device. You know, so the thing is where are they and where did they come from and where are they getting this information? certainly we came out of caves, quote unquote, you know, and are we intelligent enough to deal with that? I'm sorry, I've driven across the United States and it scares me that some of these people can vote.
Sorry.
Oh, well, that starts a whole other bunch of questions. Okay. The politics return. Okay. But now, you know, let's talk about these miraculous inventions. So we assume, of course, that mankind is clever, the pace of invention, innovation is accelerating, or is ET influencing the picture? Are they providing some of this technology? Or why can't we do it ourselves? That's the big question, too.
Well, you know, as far as why we can't do it ourselves, it's just kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and you turn 21 and you can start to drink, you know, you start getting drunk. You know, the new technology is like a toy, you know, with especially with the military. Everything is always for something destructive. The question is if you think about it, okay, when you think about it, the military has for years been advancing, and everything is always for military purpose. So all of the technology that's come about is being used for destruction, and they say for our protection, but come on, I mean, we knew there were no nukes in Iraq. We knew there were no nukes in Afghanistan, but we needed a reason to go in there because there is oil there.
There's oil in Iraq, but Afghanistan has, of course, a lot of natural resources, not necessarily oil.
Yeah, but see, there's a lot of oil in Chechnya, and the only way to get it to the coast into oil tankers is to run it across Afghanistan. So, and yeah, so, you know, you can keep adding it up. Oil is the name of the game. But when it comes to the technology, you know, why is it that we are, you know, we are not given privileged information? And why is, well, NASA, here, okay, let's go back to NASA. Do you know that NASA's budget is larger than any other department in the United States government?
I don't know about that. The Defense Department, I think.
It was bigger than the Defense Department's.
When? It's not that now.
No, I mean, maybe not now,
look
but
at it right
was
now.
It was in 2002 and 2003.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir, it was. And that's why I think the shuttles have been cut back. But the thing is that most of the stuff that they do is top secret. Most of the stuff they do is for military.
You know, have you noticed the new Navy commercial? It ends in space, almost kind of hinting around that if you join the Navy now, you might be an officer in space. It's a very interesting commercial they had on the Super Bowl that I haven't seen anybody mention it, but there was some real obvious hints in there that the Navy is in space. Let's put it that way. And of course, that harkens back to the Gary McKinnon find that when he hacked into the Defense Department computers, he found the list of off-planet officers.
What was interesting is I read an interesting report. It wasn't from NASA, so it didn't come from there. But it was basically that, did we land on the moon? Well, that debate's been going on for years. The answer is yes, and the answer is no. The first two times we did, we were told not to come back. After the first time, but we went back a second time, and we started the third time. Guess what they did? They put a stop to it. That was Apollo 13. The three or four times after that were filmed on this planet because they were already committed to the public that we were going back to the moon.
Well, I think Edgar Mitchell might have a kind of a argument there because he, of course, was on Apollo 14, and he's pretty vocal about the fact that he did go to the moon and was the sixth man to walk on the moon. So it is a compelling argument, though.
Yeah, Armstrong won't talk about it. Neither will Aldrin.
No. Most people don't know that when Neil Armstrong came back, one of the first major things that he did after the hoopla of the moon landing subsided in the early 70s was go looking for an underground city, I think in Bolivia, and was part of a team that did this major spelunking expedition in the Amazon. Not many people know that.
We'll get into more of this in a moment. We have Yari Mikola. The site is called thedimensionzone.com. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
You You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Yari Mikola joining us. The Dimension Zone is the site. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host here in the Paracast. And now we raise the specter of fake moon missions, but how do we prove that? I mean, all the evidence we've seen has pretty well been debunked so far that you know, the moon landings were faked. So how would we prove that, say, for example, E.T. or the Lunarites or whatever they are came to the astronauts and said, you're not coming back here anymore. Leave.
Well, first of all, and then we touched on it earlier in the show about the background being black on a lot of the moon photographs. There's little crosses on each of the film, on each of the frames of film that were taken. Those crosses are identifiers to determine distance. And there are no crosses in the black background where there should be white crosses. Also, there's a lot of times when a cross will overlap an overlay that was put into the film, or there might be an image put onto the mask of the helmets of the astronauts with lighting when their back is to the light and their face is to the darkness, so there would be nothing to reflect. Looking at the rules of physics and the law of lighting, I mean, I can't help myself when I'm doing that. I mean, it just happens. And so there's a lot of anomalies with the photographs that were taken between 14, 15, and 16. Including the fact that 14 and 16 were approximately 1,000 miles apart of each other when they landed, but yet there's a section of film where the two astronauts are coming down the hill, and the hill is exactly the same hill from the same shot with the same boulders in the same locations. Okay, how did that happen?
That's interesting.
Also, taking the lighting on several of the shots, there is no, and again, this is analysis from what videos I had, which weren't the originals. And by the way, they don't exist anymore because it's now digitized. And,
didn't they lose all that original footage, supposedly?
Supposedly. There's no more available to anybody. It's all digital.
It does appear on some of the still photographs that there is a secondary light source, some sort of fill lighting that's coming in.
Can actually do a gamma lighting and dim and light, and you actually see filaments in a light source that looks like the sun. Very powerful light, but also the shadows fall in different directions. You know, so there's a lot of things about the moon shots on 14, 15, and 16 that are questionable. But yet on 11 and 12, they look pretty good. Also, if you think about it, here's a lunar lander that's landing on powder-type dirt that basically got all over their stuff, but yet there was no powder on the feet of the landers. And when it took off, there was no cloud of dust that came up when it shot up, you know, from the moon to head back to Earth. Interesting.
No. We can see some of the gear we left from Earth. We can see some of the gear that was left behind by telescopes. So, I mean, that's one counter argument. But yeah, there's a lot about those photographs.
That's on 11 and 12, but not from 14, 15, and 16. The gear is from the Sea of Tranquility. That's the only place.
Maybe that's why Edgar Mitchell is so convinced there's ETs, because he was warned away. I don't know.
A lot of the reports that I've heard and been sent to me on articles within the magazine that some haven't been published, is the fact that there are ancient artifacts up there. There are buildings, ruins, even some of them as high as 5 miles high.
Yeah, okay, we've heard this for quite a while, all these lunar anomalies, and on occasion we've explored them in the past. The big question is, how do we prove that? Where's the evidence to prove that? And if we're not going back to the moon anytime soon, how are we going to confirm anything except by photographic evidence of some kind?
Now, the Japanese did send some a lunar mission, and they took some excellent photographs of the moon. And I saw nothing on that would even signify that there's anything up there. And it was, the high definition was available, and it took a long time to download, but I was able to get it. Also, what's his name? New Moon Rising. Did you guys see that? Or Moon Rising? The Truth Be Told about the lunar missions.
I'm not sure if I'm aware of that.
It's in the Enigma video gallery on our website, Dimension Zone. But there's a series of films that actually goes over where he had taken a lot of photographs of the moon and video of the moon, and then colored them in a way that it uses a color palette similar to the palette of the Earth. And it actually brought it alive to a three-dimensional look, and really brought a lot of things in the foreground. So have a look at that. I can't think of it off the name of it offhand.
You'll think of it 2 seconds after we finish this show.
Yeah, after we finish. And I can certainly send you the email and tell you where it's at.
Well, you know, by the way, I should mention to our listeners that we hoodwink Yari into participating in the Paracast forums at forum.paracast.com. So possibly if you have the information, you'll post a question there.
Hey, but I have a question about a case that's been ongoing that Nancy Talbot's been involved with. It's occurring just up the road from you, the Robert Vandenbroucker case. Are you familiar with that? Have you done any sort of analytical work on some of the pretty intriguing photographs and footage that's come out of that particular case? Are you aware of it?
Yes, I'm aware of it, and he has been debunked.
Okay, now let's get into that, because we had Nancy Talbot on the show, and I think she hates us now because we were very skeptical on the Paracast of this particular incident. How has he been debunked?
Well, he's supposedly a psychic, and he was given a list of people that wanted to meet him, and he did a lot of research on their families on the web, apparently. And he found that one of the things that he said he'd done is he was in contact with the father or the deceased of the person who wanted to make contact with his father. And he said that he doesn't know what kind of work he did, but he was called this in Dutch. Ik spreek in Nederlands. I do speak Dutch. Not real well, but I do speak it and understand it.
And that's not one of the seven dirty Dutch words.
No. Trust me, you know those. But yeah, I could throw those at you. You wouldn't know, would you?
That's right. But our network does. They got multilingual specialists who are going to basically catch us before we do it.
Anyway, what he was doing is he was obviously researching the information, because the profession that he listed his father as doing was unknown, and they thought it was, you know, he excused it as an old type work that, you know, we probably don't do anymore. Well, it turned out that it was a misspelling on the web. When you add a letter to it, and I can't remember what the word is exactly because my Dutch is, like I said, not perfect, but it basically meant he was a mill grinder. He used to blend the stuff to make beer, blend all the grains in the mill to make beer. All you had to do was add one letter, so it was a misspelling on the web, but yet he quoted it as it was on the web. I've been down to that area. As a matter of fact, I just got through working in that area across the line in Belgium. And I've driven by his place a few times to kind of see if I could spot any crop circles. And I didn't see anything. But I looked at some of the photographs of the crop circles, and, you know, there are some photographs that I can't explain. Like bolts of lightning coming through the ceiling, going through him and through Nancy sitting at the table. I couldn't explain those. And she sent me copies of her original digital, and I still can't explain them. That was compelling.
What's compelling is the fact that our guest this week is Yari Mikola. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, are devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Skip the long lines and high prices at the florist, because right now at ProFlowers.com, you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and a free box of chocolates for just $29.99. Just visit ProFlowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 4444. Unlike overpriced flowers at the florist, which sit in the cooler for days, our flowers are sent fresh cut from the fields and are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. Just visit ProFlowers.com today to get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and free chocolates for only $29.99. Order now and pick the delivery date you want. It's guaranteed. But hurry, because Valentine's Veterans Day is this Monday, and our special offer ends this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish it. M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
Two more segments left with our visit with Jari Mikola. He's in the Netherlands. Chris O'Brien, my co-host, and I, well, we're here in Arizona, about 120 miles apart, but you know what? We're in a virtual room on the Paracast. Okay, so is there a smoking gun with this case that we're talking about?
I don't know where he's gone, but I would say that's a pretty much of a smoking gun, that he was basically giving information that he obviously pulled from the web.
So he did good cold readings. We used to call them cold readings. And, of course, in the days of carnivals, they would have people who were just basically very smart, very intuitive, and could basically look at body language or how people answer things. And they would come up with a good cold reading, which is basically guessing things about a person, using that person and their prompts to get more and more closer to the facts. Here he was doing it the cheap, easy way, which is a Google search or something like that.
Yeah, and I've never met him personally. And every time I asked Nancy if I could meet him since I was here, you know, she wouldn't give me any information where he's at, but I was able to find his website. I never did make contact with him, especially since I talked with one of the paranormal investigators here who told me the story I just related to you.
We put that into the, as they say, the no box. Not a gray area, but something where we can just basically say this is a fake. Now, could it be like some of these other cases where maybe he had some kind of real experience of some sort and then wanted his 30 minutes of fame rather than the 15 minutes?
I think that's what's happening, is the fact that he does have some evidence that, like I said, I couldn't explain. As far as the crop circles that I saw from the photographs that were provided to me by Nancy, the crop circles were crude at best. You know, they looked like it could have been done by boards, but she did her analysis on them and found that, you know, the nodes on them were stretched like what she explains in a real crop circle that's unexplainable, where it couldn't possibly have been done by boards. But they did look like they were done by boards. I mean, they didn't look like any grave, beautiful image that you see, you know, in the fields of England. Which, by the way, I will be going with Andrew Collin this next crop circle season, and he's invited me to come out and take a look at some crop circles. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
So you think some crop circles are more than just artistic creations on our part?
Definitely. Just too much evidence to be to the contrary. I mean, there is one guy who was able to create an elaborate crop circle copy in a period of 8 hours during the night to prove a point. He barely finished in time, and it wasn't quite the same size as the original. However, he did a good job, and it would have been a pretty good fake. But for the most part, I can't see a bunch of guys in a pub running out to the hillsides of England in the middle of the night with boards and determining that they're going to make something so perfect in the dark that it defies explanation. I just don't buy that. It's just too unexplainable.
Well,
there's some that are hoaxed. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there definitely are. There are some. No question about it. That still is a very, obviously, it's a controversial subject. And if you go to England and you start talking hoaxes with some of the crop circle researchers, you will not be very long in their in their good stead. Let's put it that way. But if you look at John Lundgren, I think is where Team Satan and Matthew Williams and some of the other claimed hoaxes. One of the most interesting stories that I've heard was one of the hoaxing crews was madly scrambling to finish a particular glyph before dawn, and they left. They got it done. They left somebody on a nearby kind of a small knoll to check out and see if, you know, who would be the first person to drive by and be able to spot it. And he got up on this knoll and looked down, and right in the field next to the hoax circle was a fresh circle that hadn't been there the day before that had been done while they were doing their circle. It had been done in the next field, and they had no idea. They never saw anything. They never heard anything. There were no lights, no anything. So
the hoaxes were bamboozled by a real...
Yeah, it's like funny. It's like the, what was it, the X-Files episode. I've mentioned this a couple times on the show where you have the military abduction team dressed up as aliens doing an abduction on a roadside, and then the real aliens show up and abduct them. That's one of my favorite all-time scenes from a TV show. Who are these guys?
Now, I wanted to ask you a question that was hinted at earlier. Of course, you worked for the government. You got a sense of it. We talk about possibly faking some of those moon landings. So when we go to things like these UFO films over Temple Mount in Jerusalem, Israel, do we think that just some private people with their copies of Photoshop and Adobe After Effects and their camcorder put it all together? Or maybe the government here or elsewhere did something to divert our attention or just to, shall we say, have fun?
I'm not ruling out government intervention. I mean, the thing is it's very typical of the government to feed us truth and lies mixed together to confuse us. I mean, that's been going on since, you know, mankind first was able to bug to a woman. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just like, no. They've been lying and filling our head with truths and lies and confuse us. So you basically either have to throw it all out or you have to believe it all. And the thing is that, okay, so in most cases people don't believe that UFOs exist, so they're going to make sure that we really believe that they don't. But maybe they're trying to make us think that now that they do, so they're putting out more quality in it. I don't know. It's hard to say. You call it.
Seems pretty elaborate. It seems pretty elaborate with these additional, you know, clips coming forward. It seems to be a well thought out hoax, if it is a hoax, which I think we can pretty much agree that there's enough elements to the footage to suggest that it was fabricated. But I'm still intrigued by the actual location that was chosen to do this and by the timing of it. And it seems to me that there's some sort of societal, sort of very subtle societal programming or manipulation going on with the choice of the Dome of the Rock mosque and, of course, obviously the old city of Jerusalem as the location. So this is something that I don't see many people commenting on online. And I think it's an indication of a fairly elaborate agenda going on that doesn't solely have something to do with just UFOs and being sensational about UFOs.
One of the theories that I actually have a tendency to agree with a lot of what I've heard and read and studied is that we were genetically engineered as humans. You know, we have a genetic code that has one pair of chromosomes that are joined, and there's no other species on this planet that has a joined pair of chromosomes. Where did they come from, and how did they get there, and are they what actually makes us who we are today? You know, the fact that we only use, quote-unquote, but 90% of our brain is not actually used for thinking, but maybe just, you know, controlling our body. I don't believe that it's capable of only using 10%. You know, we can think of processes faster than any supercomputer. The way our brain functions is just an instantaneous decision based on an analysis. You know, let's take a jet fighter having to make a last-minute turn to avoid clipping an enemy plane coming at him. You know, that is not something you could program with a computer. And if you could, it would be too big to fit in the airplane.
Well, of course, nowadays we try with our automobile technology to program in things like, well, it senses by radar or whatever, senses an approaching vehicle so the brakes are activated, things like that, or you get into the wrong lane and it gives you a signal. And I've tried a couple of cars that do that, and they're just downright annoying. So we're sort of trying anyway.
Well, yeah, it's like the planes that I've been watching air disasters. You know, it's like, okay, and this is from National Geographic, and they're talking about planes that have brains for themselves, and if the wind's not right, it tries to take off again. Well, it caused a big Air France disaster, you know, because it wasn't there was no altitude for it to take off with. Anyway.
So basically, there are things, of course, that you can't program yet, at least from our current state of technology. So even though we have supercomputers in our pockets, such as iPhones and Android phones, well, they're not supercomputers compared to the human brain. Hey, neighbors, we do want to hear from you. We want to hear what you like and what you don't like about the PowerCast. You can write us, news@thepowercast.com. That's news@thepowercast.com. I promise we will read each and every letter we get. We have Yari Mikola from the Dimension Zone. TheDimensionZone.com is the site. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the PowerCast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Micro plant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all natural, all organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Hey neighbors, we do want to hear from you. We want to hear what you like and what you don't like about the Paracast. You can write us, news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We're in our final segment with Yari Mikola of the Dimension Zone talking to us from his palatial estate in The Hague, Netherlands. He's in the fourth floor attic or something, is it? We call everybody's home palatial estate.
It's actually quite large for a one-bedroom apartment. I mean, it's pretty big. It's got the slanted roofs. I feel like I'm the Starship Enterprise with the slanted walls.
But engage.
Engage. There you go.
The only imitation I do in my entire life, I just did it and I failed at it. Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, don't tell me about my bad jokes.
Don't email. When we talk about our origins, you know, in 2012 and UFOs and alien abductions, you have to stop and wonder how much of it is due to the fact that in 2012 that maybe genetic code is going to be turned on and we're going to be given this awakening. You know, there's this Nibiru is supposed to be headed this direction. You know, it's just like there's just so many things that people talk about. It's hard to disseminate what's fact and what's fiction. And the whole objective of, you know, what I do and what the Dimension Zone is all about is letting people who have a valid argument post what it is that they have and discuss it. And if they want to write an article, we're more than willing to print it, you know, in the journal. But the journal has to have an ability to understand what it is you're trying to say and to try to say it as scientifically as possible without supposition. So give us some objective evidence as to why you have reached a conclusion.
Okay, let's talk about the conclusion that we might be referring to here in another sense, which is, okay, we may have something happen in 2012 for whatever reason, maybe not. I mean, in the past, we say it's going to happen this time. We're going to have a global catastrophe in the year 2000 because of Y2K. And, of course, they sold lots of computers. People made lots of money, but nothing happened. Okay, so we don't know if it's going to happen or not. But what about disclosure? I mean, we always bring this up in the UFO field, a nasty subject from the 1950s with Major Donald Kehoe. They said, well, the government knows this. They know that ET's out there. They're going to tell us. So in 2011, they're still not telling us. What do you think?
Well, I think they never intended to tell us. And maybe they really don't know a lot either. And I remember the event being talked about in school one time about the Los Angeles war over Los Angeles. It was during World War II, so before I was born. I'm old, but not that old. And it was a UFO that was spotted, and the military fired upon it. And the thing is that people that were talking about it on the radio were very adamant that they actually saw this UFO. And it was like nothing they'd ever seen before. And in 1945, some of the stuff they talked about were just not even science fiction ideas yet. So the thing is have they been around? Are they going to be around? And are they going to make themselves known? And the question is, are we being prepared for that? Are we being prepped? Because it'll destroy every religion that's on this planet and make us look at things differently.
I don't know if it'll destroy every religion. The Vatican has already started making statements that are inclusive of any sort of other life form out there. That
you're right.
That,
actually, they have
their whole thing is
you can't
put a lid or a cap on the creator's creativity. So,
They built a binocular telescope in Arizona for that.
Yeah, it's just up the road from me.
Awesome.
Kind of.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's all right. Well, my point is this, is I think that there is a process underway, at least in the Vatican and in certain portions of Christianity, at least, I think are slowly preparing the faithful for an eventual disclosure. But I think what I'm hearing you say is that disclosure is going to be on the part of the ETs, that we're not going to have a true disclosure with a big D, as Stephen Bassett says, from the government, that if anything is disclosed, it'll be the ETs that'll make their presence known, as in Childhood's End, Independence Day style, undeniable presence, in other words. Is that correct?
I agree. I think that's totally what's going to happen. And I don't believe there's only one alien race out there. I think there's multiple alien races. You know, if you think about how perfect this planet is and everything that had to happen for it to exist and how far away it is from anything else that could even be remotely like it, which we have yet to identify or find, it's very rare. And to take a look at what we're doing to this planet, you know, it's like, okay, guys, we might have to intervene here. But then again, are there those factions that want to eradicate the disease and clean the planet up, namely, i.e. humans, or are those that are really want to help us to clean it up? Because we haven't been able to do a good job ourselves.
Well, I think, if anything, that the ecosystem is what's valuable, and we're, like you said, we're like a virus that's messing up this incredible, diverse, you know, the biodiversity on this planet is just absolutely amazing. And that may be the focus of their you know, attention here, is the actual biosphere.
Imagine a blackout where we have no more electricity, where we have no more oil, where we have no more communication with computers. How would that affect, you know, we'd be plunged back into another dark ages.
Yeah.
We'd be forced to live off the land. Cities like New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and London and Moscow would not exist. People could not, you know, sustain themselves in those cities. The thing is that could we go back to what it was like, you know, in the 13th century? Probably, if we had to. How many people could survive without a Walmart or King Super?
How many kids could survive without texting?
Yeah, I think, you know, nowadays, I thought, aren't they born with phones in their ears?
I hate to think about the effect to their hearing, though.
With texting, they're going to have to come up with a new, you know, orthopedic disease, you know, carpal thumb syndrome or something.
We used to sign. A whole bunch of my friends and myself learned how to sign, so we would sign to each other. So we weren't talking in class, but we were. Yeah. So what were we just talking about? It's late for me, guys.
It's the changes of society that we might be undergoing, whether there's going to be an end game, whether in our lifetime we'll see a resolution to the UFO enigma. And, you know, there are various and sundry opinions as to what's going on, whether or not actually the governments have answers, or they hate to admit they have no answers. They don't know what's going on. In 1 minute or slightly more, Yari, would you tell our listeners more about the Dimension Zone?
Well, the Dimension Zone is really to cover all of the anomalous sciences, from cryptozoology, alien abduction, the mystics, UFOs, the paranormal, the psychics, and just basically given a well-rounded bit of information and ability for people to pull up a one-source kind of place for all of the sciences that would be considered anomalous. And they're contributed by very many people all around the world. So it's a joint venture by a lot of people who love what we do.
It's all free?
It's all free.
Okay, now this is at thedimensionzone.com. Now, are you going to have any print stuff or is it all going to be online?
Well, we're going to be releasing our magazine in January, and of course it will have advertising in it.
This is January of 2012.
September. We're going to be releasing in this September 2011. We're going to be releasing our new issue of the Journal of Anomalous Sciences, and that'll have advertising. There'll be advertising within the website, so we hope to pay for the website and the efforts that we put into this through that, so that it all can be free.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your goodies?
Well, you can go to my website, OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet, and it's Our Strange Planet. Plus, I'm lurking about on the forum as one of the moderators and administrators for the Paracast forums. And, of course, tune in every Sunday and listen to me here or on the archives.
Now, let me talk about the forums for a moment. I know that when Yari Mikola's episode is heard, in our forums, there are going to be lots and lots of questions, especially, and I'll be frank about it, about the fact that you say you think there may be some providence to some, or at least some, of Stan Romanek's claims. Next week on the Paracast, we'll talk to James Carrion. He's a former director of MUFON, and now we're hearing all sorts of troubles that MUFON's having, state directors being dismissed, all that. James Carrion will give us his point of view about the entire situation. A special thank you for Yari Mikola for joining us this week on the Paracast.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.